The meeting the moon hung high over the sleepy lakeside Villa of Leora, casting a tableware gleam across the still waters. It was said that wishes rumored under the full moon would drift into the welkin and return fulfilled, carried back on moonlight's breath. Locals believed it, children loved it, and romanticists depended on it. Isla was one of those romanticists. She stood by the edge of the lake in a white dress, her long dark hair falling freely over her shoulders. The fabric caught the wind, making her look like a ghost from another time. Her eyes were fixed on the reflection of the moon dancing across the lake's face. Every full moon, she came to this veritably spot, not to wish, but to flash back. Three times gone, under the same sky, she had met someone who changed everything. Back also, she was a rubberneck, exploring the country after finishing university, painting geographies and jotting poetry in her journal. She'd rented a small cabin in Leora to escape the noise of the world. She had then anticipated to meet him. His name was Arian. She first saw him on the pier, sitting with a sketchbook balanced on his knees. He had the kind of presence that made time decelerate down. His golden brown hair caught the sun, and his eyes, dark and full of riddle, met hers compactly before he looked back down at his sketch. Isla approached cautiously, uncertain whether to intrude, but commodity about the peacefulness he transuited drew her in. "You're drawing," she said vocally. Arian looked up, smiling. "And you're watching me draw." She flushed, but the warmth in his voice melted her unease. "I'm Isla," she said. "Arian." They talked like old musketeers, horse laughs splashing between them. He showed her his sketches, the lake, the trees, a jingoismic flight. He asked to see her oils. She returned the coming day with her easel and canvases, and from also on, their days intertwined like ivy. They painted together, talked for hours, cooked simple refections, watched the moon rise. They fell in love sluggishly, vocally, like the first snowfall. But summer ended, and with it, so did their time. Arian had to leave for Italy for an art occupancy, and Isla had to return home to the megacity to start her new job. They promised letters, promised visits. Only the letters no way came. And when Isla returned to Leora the coming time, he was ent there. No bone knew where he'd gone. He dissolved like mist in the morning light. Part 2, a return was now Isla's third summer back in Leora. She still returned each time, as if part of her waited for commodity or someone. She no way stopped allowing of Arian. No way stopped wondering why he faded. Was it fate? A choice? Did he forget her? Tonight, under full moon, her heart felt heavy with questions. She closed her eyes. "Still," she rumored into the night, "I still flash back. If you're out there..." Behind her, the sound of steps on clay made her turn. At first, she allowed it was a townie passing in. But when she saw the altitudinous figure standing at the edge of the trees, illuminated in moonlight, her breath caught in her throat. He stepped forward, sluggishly, precisely. And there he was, Arian, aged, thinner, but unmistakably him. His eyes still carried the same quiet fire. His expression flitted between unbelief and stopgap. "Isla," he breathed, as if saying her name for the first time in times. She goggled, firmed. "Arian," she rumored. "Is it really you?" He jounced, and a silence fell between them, filled with all the words neither knew how to say. She took a step forward. "You faded. I awaited. I wrote letters." "I know," he said, voice tight. "And I read every single bone." Her eyes widened. "You got them?" "I did." He looked down, shamed. "But I couldn't answer. Not also." "Why?" Her voice cracked, heart pounding. "What happed?" Arian swallowed hard. "My mama fell ill just after I arrived in Florence. Cancer. It was unforeseen. Aggressive. I left the occupancy and flew home. The coming time was a blur. Hospitals. Caregiving. Grief. I lost myself in the pain. I didn't know how to face you. I didn't want to bring that darkness into your light." Isla's heart pained. "You should have told me. I allowed I was guarding you." She stepped closer. "You were ent. You were just making me wonder if I signified." He squinched, the words cutting deep. "I'm sorry. Truly. A long silence passed before Isla said, Why are you then now? Arian looked up at the moon, also at her. Because the only thing that got me through those nights was the memory of us. I no way forgot. I no way stopped painting you under the moon. And when I realized it was a full moon tonight, I just had to come back. I didn't indeed know if you would be then. Gashes slipped down Isla's cheeks. I always come back. They stood elevation piecemeal, the moon between them. I missed you, he said. So much, she rumored. I missed you every single day. And also, eventually, after three long times, he pulled her into his arms. And she let him. The healing the world around them sounded to break. The wind rustled through the trees like a rumored blessing. Justices played their gentle music in the distance. But Isla only heard the meter of Arian's twinkle against her impertinence. When she pulled back from the grass, her eyes searched his. Where have you been staying? She asked. I just arrived this morning. Rented the same old cabin I had back also. I wasn't sure I could face this place again until I saw the moon. Isla let out a breath. Come with me. They walked together in silence to her small cabin on the hill. Outside, the air smelled noiselessly of lavender and makeup. The walls were lined with her work nature studies, soft pictures, and one oil she'd no way shown anyone Arian, sketch from memory, sitting on the lakeside pier, sketchbook in hand. He goggled at it in admiration. You flashback me like that. I could no way forget, she said vocally. He reached for her hand, conditional. I doan't anticipate anything from you, Isla. I came back because I demanded to tell you the verity, because I demanded to see you again, indeed if only formally. You doan't owe me anything. Isla held his aspect. But what if I still want everything? The flicker of stopgap in his eyes turned into a honey. They spent the coming many days like echoes of the once. Long walks through the wildflower fields, breakfast by the lake, afterlife in participated silence. Painting side by side. But effects were different too. The innocence of youth had faded. There were scars now, quiet understanding, a deepening of the soul. One evening, rain poured over Leora like tableware vestments. The two of them sat outside by the fire, wrapped in robes, belting warm tea. Isla looked at him. You changed. So have you, he said. But you're still the only person I've ever felt a home with. She blinked back unforeseen gashes. I used to suppose our story ended that summer. Perhaps it was just the morning. She looked into the deer's. I do want to lose you again. You would ant, he rumored. I'm not going anywhere. Not this time. He leaned in, and this time when he kissed her, it was in a kiss of new love. It was one of reunion, of recognition, of time chancing its way back to itself. Summer strengthened in Leora. The lake lustered with sun by day and moonlight by night. The townies began to notice the brace, always walking together. Occasionally laughing, occasionally lost in quiet discussion. It was as if the stars themselves had decided to write their names beside each other again. One night, under a pale waxing moon, Arian invited Isla to the pier where they first met. She wore the same white dress. He brought his sketchbook. They sat in silence, the water still as glass. I've been allowing, Arian said, flipping through his runners. I want to stay then. Make this home again. Open a small art plant by the lake. Perhaps educate children how to paint. Isla's heart skipped. You'd stay? He jounced. I used to suppose adventure was nearly far down. But now I suppose it's then. In the quiet. In you. She leaned on his shoulder. I was so hysterical you'd vanish again. I would end. Not ever. He turned the sketchbook to show her what he'd been drawing. It was an oil in progress. The two of them under the moonlight, dancing on the pier, her dress swirling in the wind, his arms holding her close. Isla smiled. It's beautiful. I want to finish it, he said. But I need the moment to be first. And just like that, music drifted from a near cafe, someone playing a soft air on the violin. Arian stood and held out his hand. May I have this cotillion? With gashes in her eyes, she rose. They danced under stars, the moon smiling above them. No bone watched, and yet it felt like the whole macrocosm bore substantiation. When the song faded, they remained still, facades pressed together. And that night, as they walked back home, Arion stopped by the old wishing gravestone near the lake. Legend had it that if two suckers rumored their expedience to the moon together, their souls would be bound through continuances. Arion looked into Isla's eyes. "Do you believe in wishes?" She smiled. "I believe in alternate chances." They both closed their eyes and rumored their hearts into the night. Stay. Ever. Epilogue a time latterly, the little art plant by the lake buzzed with life. Children's horse laugh filled the air, and oils of stars, timbers, and dreams lined the walls. Arion tutored in the mornings, painted in the gloamings, and always left a place at his side for Isla. Isla, now writing poetry full-time, published a collection called Moonlight Between Us, inspired by their story. It came a quiet success, drawing trippers and romanticists to Leora's peaceful props. And every month, on the night of the full moon, they returned to the pier. To dance. To flashback. To brute thanks to the stars that brought them back. They knew now that love was and always perfect. Occasionally it wandered. Occasionally it broke. But real love always set up its way back. Under the moon. Together.